free agency recaps, woo! Draft previews. Hey. Look at us. We're almost like a real podcast.
I think we got a lot of picks.
Greetings, loyal listeners. You are listening to The Blowhole on Finsider Radio. We are back making a strange mid-off-season, just for the heck of it, kind of podcast. Rob, how are you enjoying the off-season?
Oh, it is so confusing. I didn't even know who Pitts was to all of a sudden like, oh, maybe the Dolphins will take him. And now it's like, oh, he's not getting past the Falcons. I'm like, what are you talking about? Every month it's different. I am very excited. I'm excited about what the team is doing. I'm excited the way the front office is handling it. We're moving. We're shaking. We're moving back. We're moving up. We're doing who knows what we're doing. But I like it. I'm very excited.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I'm feeling very good about the Dolphins offseason as well. I was a little salty at the beginning of free agency. I was probably like most of the fan base where I didn't understand why they weren't making any moves, and we had lost all these guys. You know, we cut Van Noy, traded Lawson, all of those things that happened since the last time we spoke. I was not happy, but then, you know, watching the slow signings trickle in, I even came around on Will Fuller. I like what they did, and I have come around. I like what they did in free agency. I think the Justin Coleman signing, pretty sneaky, but I like him. It's weird. We were very deep at cornerback, but he's a very, very good slot corner. And I thought maybe that was a prelude to them perhaps looking to move on from Xavien Howard. You know, maybe slotting, you know, Igbinoghene to the outside or Needham to the outside. But I mean, that's the real position of strength and depth now with Jones, Howard, and Coleman as your 1, 2, and 3. That's elite. Those are elite corners in all of those positions, which is nice to see. I wonder if maybe they're thinking about having Coleman slide into safety as well. That was a nice under the radar signing for the team. That was my one that I really enjoyed. And Bernardrick McKinney trade, that's who we got. That's who we gave up Lawson and brought him back. I like that signing a lot, or I like that trade a lot. And then bringing in, they're bringing Roberts back, but who knows what he's going to be like next year coming off that knee injury. So Baker and McKinney in the middle are great. We're really thin on the edges now. Ogba and Van Ginkle are pretty much all we got out there now.
Yeah, so which is why, you know, we do expect that to be addressed in the draft, probably at 18, but you know, a lot of mocks have us going with with the edge rusher or somebody on the outside. I
would be okay if they don't address edge early in the draft. If they can, there are still some veteran guys that are out there, I think, that are available to sign. Melvin Ingram being one of them. Did Haason Reddick sign?
I do not know. I think so. I want to say he did.
I was going to say, if he was still out there, that might be one, but he's going to be expensive. I was thinking maybe Clowney. Maybe this was the year they finally brought Clowney in.
I was so glad it wasn't Clowney. I'm done with that guy. You know, forget even him spurning us the last time. I'm just like, he's everyone talks about him. I know he's got the skill set, but what did he do for Tennessee's defense? Was terrible last year. He didn't put up any stats. I'm like, I don't want him.
That Olivier guy, Vernon is available as well. He's another name.
I like him. I've always liked him. I'll bring him back.
Would be nice to see a homecoming there. So I wouldn't be shocked. We'll talk about the draft in the second half of the show. I want to spend the first half of it's going to be a pretty abbreviated.
I only want to talk about the draft.
You don't want to talk about the draft at all?
All I want to talk about is the draft. It's what's on our minds. Right. It's what's coming in like, what, 9 days, maybe 8 days for the folks listening to this tomorrow? So we're recording it, Wednesday? We're Wednesday night, we're recording this. Probably you guys will, you know, get it after that because you won't get it before this.
So last time we spoke, I think we were both really, really psyched about the team making a run at Deshaun Watson.
And it wasn't because we weren't Tua haters. We were happy to go with Tua, but it seemed, but like if you could get Watson.
Very clearly,
you
yes.
You had to see what it would cost you. And before all the nonsense that happened, I never thought it was a good chance, just because I didn't think the Dolphins were dumb enough to overpay. I thought if they could get him, they would get him, if they can get him at a good price. But once all the other teams were in there, I think somebody was going to just pay way more than we would anyway. Before,
well, you saw some of the other trades that happened, right? Like Matt Stafford, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, but that was, but half of his haul was for taking on the Goff contract. Like they got more for him because they also took the contract back. It wasn't just,
that is true. That's a good point. And not often talked about, in a lot of the conversations that you heard about it, but, I don't think Goff is necessarily that. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he's going to play pretty well up there.
He's
not
good. I mean, we know he's not good. He's a system quarterback. We've seen he's not going to take you to another level. The Rams.
No, he seems a lot like, and I mean, I love Ryan Tannehill, but that, that seems to be the ceiling for Goff. Like at his absolute best.
Yeah. Is Ryan Tannehill. And he's not even, I don't even think he's there yet. Like he's not even there now. So
that year that they went to the Super Bowl, he was pretty darn close.
True. So. Yeah. But I always like Stafford. I'm actually excited to see what Stafford could do. I feel like he's one of those guys I always talk about in the draft. Like people are like, oh, look at this. It does depend where you go. If that guy went,
I know you. How much you love Matt Stafford.
I think he's talented, and I think people don't realize how good he is because he was in such a terrible place for so long.
Well, that leads to another interesting point. So going into free agency, the marquee, I guess, wide receiver that was available or that ended up being available after tagging, after Godwin and Allen Robinson were both tagged, Kenny Galladay became, I believe, the de facto number one wide receiver that was available. And I was hoping the Dolphins would go after him. I obviously didn't want them to overpay, but I was hoping he was the guy they were going to bring in. The guy they did end up bringing in is Will Fuller, and I believe he actually fits more of a need.
I love Galladay as a player, but I do. Yeah. I feel like he's kind of Parker-ish, isn't he? Like in his, like, he's not really.
Well, we already have two of them, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Parker and Williams.
That's what I mean. He's like he can get the ball, he can high point it, but he's not much of a separator. And I'm like, we've got that. He's arguably younger and so makes him better, or whatever. Than both of those guys, but we've got enough of that. So I didn't want to break the bank on him. I think the Giants still ended up like bidding against themselves.
Oh.
Like they did not have to pay the $18 million.
Coming off the injury. Yeah.
But again,
I think he's a great wide receiver. But I don't love Will Fuller, but he fits the need of what this team needs.
And on a 1 year prove it deal, I'm all for that, right? The whole thing, he's never really been healthy. And the one time he's healthy, he gets suspended for PED. So you're like, oh, great. Like, who knows? But 1 year, $10 million, fine. I would have hated a signing if it was a 4 or 5 year deal. But like this, I am fine with this. Let's see what he can do.
So wide receiver room as it stands now. Parker, Williams, Fuller, Hearns, Wilson, Grant, and they signed Matt Collins again. So... who's going, in your opinion?
Well, probably Wilson and probably Hearns. I mean, that obviously you just said it. They signed Holland, so, and he's going to be, he's younger and cheaper and plays special teams. And I mean, Wilson's got the big cap number. So unless he's in great shape and running like crazy fast,
I forgot to mention Perry and Bowden as well. It's a very crowded room.
It is. And like, which is, like I'm like, you're thinking, oh, bring in the rookie. And you're like, obviously we need a rookie. We need a young, we need one. We'll get to that. But yes, it is. If everyone's healthy, it's not a terrible wide receiver room, but God, I want it to be better. It's got to be better than it was.
That was the thing. They were so injury riddled last year. You had Hearns and Wilson opt out right at the beginning, right?
Yep.
So that immediately cut into your depth a lot. And then Parker remembered that he was Devontae Parker and struggled with injuries all season long. But to his credit, he played a lot. Like he played through a lot. Preston Williams, again, just start as soon as he started to look good.
So, yeah, now just saying it, looking at this, and with Bowden and Perry, I think Hearns, Wilson, and Grant will probably all be won't come. I don't think any of them come back.
It's just there's so many of them, and you know they're
especially
drafting.
Especially if somebody can return,
drafting a wide receiver at the top, it's either a receiver or Pitts. We'll talk about that in the draft when we get right there. But I want to talk more about that, the actual team right now as it exists. What about Preston Williams? I mean, do you give up on that guy? Or
you don't give up on him, but like if you don't have to. I mean, I don't. How many are they going to carry though? What do you think?
I'm saying. I mean, you got like hypothetically. Let's say it's Jamar Chase that they draft, right? Who's a prototypical number one on the outside, can play inside, can play outside. He's basically Devontae Parker. Maybe better than Devontae Parker, right? So you'd have him and Parker as one and two, a slot guy, right? Who's going to play? I mean, Chase and Parker can slide into the slot, but don't you?
Well,
you
let's
want
look at
three?
Let's look at the let's. I'm going to ask you a serious question. If I take up all the games in next season in 2021, Parker games, Devontae Parker plus Will Fuller games plus Preston Williams games. Over 20.
Well, we know Fuller's already out for one for sure for the suspension. Yeah, so
is it one or two? I think it's one or two, but whatever.
I mean, you're talking about combined games between the three of them?
Yes. I think we got one. I think it's one position. I think those three will be in one position.
Oh man. I don't know about that. Maybe. I mean, who knows? Parker played a lot of games last year. I think Parker played 12 games.
Yes, but he was limited in a lot of them too. Every time I picked him in fantasy camp, he was limping and barely caught anything. And then he was well rested for the next week when you could pick him and he can bring in like 100 and he can get 10 catches for 100 yards.
I feel like Parker will bounce back. I feel like having a full offseason, I feel like he'll have a season that is similar to the one that he had. The first year under Flores.
I do too. I don't think we can't risk having 1, 2, and 3 be Parker, Fuller, and Williams with the injury history. That can't be our top three.
Oh no, agree. That's why they're going to draft somebody. I'm just saying, do you keep all of those guys? Like that just seems like overkill to me. I'm curious to see. I really don't know what they're going to do. I don't have an opinion on what they should do. Williams is probably, I guess, my least of those three, the one that I guess they could get rid of. I mean,
yeah, it's going to be weird, but even the running back room is kind of crowded. And then, there's a good chance
with not good running backs.
Well, no, but I mean, the guy from the Malcolm Brown's decent. He's okay. He's decent. And there,
I have he has short decent all over him.
What's that?
Does he not? Do you not think that he looks just like the Jordan Howard signing?
No, he's better than that. But I mean, blocking is obviously going to be a big factor for all those guys. Nobody's great, but they have.
I like Gaskin. I just don't think he can. I don't think he's a full-time number
right,
one.
Right, but they also still have Ahmed. They have Brown. They've got all these bodies, and they'll probably add one later. So
this is what I will say. When they came in, when this regime started, they cleaned house, right? And then they have built a very deep team, and now they're trying to add the superstars, right? Now you're trying to find those the stars, the playmakers that are going to make the difference makers, right? So that's what this offseason is all about. I feel like Fuller could be a big time playmaker in this offense if it works, if Tua makes that leap, which I think he will. I think there's been a lot of offseason talk about the his inability to throw the deep ball. I actually think he throws a very good deep ball. I thought he threw a lot of pretty good deep passes when he had the opportunity. He just didn't have any of the weapons. So give him one that can create some separation.
He didn't have the weapons. And I'm not so sure how much Chan Gailey wanted him in, because Gailey kind of came out of retirement to to have Fitzpatrick back. And I think he was actually, you know, I think he called it differently. I'm not crazy, right? He called it differently when Tua was in there. Now, maybe you have to because he's younger and he can't make some of the reads, but I still feel like, you know, it wasn't the same. It weren't the same plays when Tua was in compared to Fitzpatrick.
I agree. I do. I definitely agree with that. Outside of that, you know, on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, before that, let's stick on offense. And we're talking free agents for the offensive line. Remember the center, we kind of missed out on both of the free agent centers we wanted. We ended up with the guy.
That's true. Yeah. I like the Skira signing. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I didn't, you know, I feel like this is the draft is going to be where they're going to have to address.
But I thought they'd get one of the guys, you know, either re-sign Garrett or get Andrews or something. I thought they were going to get one of them guys.
I didn't care either way. I mean, Karras was fine. Andrews traditionally has been good, but he has, you know, a pretty stout injury history now. I'm fine with the Patriots signing both of them. That's totally fine. Like, you know, I'd rather not get, you know, cap money tied up in, you know, middle of the road offensive line. Cause they're both, I think Karras was, I believe, ranked 17th and Andrews was ranked 16th or 18th. They were both like, right, like they're the same guy.
Basically. And who was the guy? We just had another low key addition to the offensive line, our second.
Another Raven year. Lineman. Yeah. And, you know, I will say Skira was, you know, at his peak, like was a, you know, in.
He was really good until he got hurt and then had that weird, just had the yips, the fumbling issues, just kind of.
Yeah. So. I like that signing. And then they signed Fluker yesterday, who's, you know, a guy who can start, and, you know, had played, you know, a lot of meaningful football for a very good offensive lineup in Baltimore. Also former, Crimson Tide. I don't think he was there the same time that Tua was there, but
good depth and a starter if need be.
Yeah. I like starter. It. I think they're going to, I really feel like, you know, they are going to address the offensive line in the drafts, early, you know, maybe not day one. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's the, you know, if the second pick in the first round is that, or maybe even if, you know, we'll talk about this in the draft part, but if Sewell's there and, you know, and, you
if
know,
he's if, there, if it means Pitts and Chase aren't, then he might be the guy. Yeah.
And I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I would be okay with that. But that's part of the, you know, the great thing about having lots of depth, which they, you know, they have built. So now you're able to draft that best player available and, you know, kind of shoot for the stars.
Oh my God. When does it start? I want to see them play. I want to see Tua throwing to all these guys.
Exactly. Well, you know, Fuller's a start, you know, maybe they could, you know, there's still some other, remember Jarvis Landry was a second round pick and he was a, you know, a very, very good productive wide receiver for this team for a while. I think you can find.
No, I know. Definitely. Productive
wide, you know, receivers outside of the top 10.
But here we are with the...
Often you do. That's where they are found, is outside of the top 10.
Do you know why? Because they go to good teams. Because they're not going to garbage teams. But this isn't our pick. We're not a garbage team. We're a good team.
That's true.
Using a garbage team.
Yeah, we lucked
pick.
Out. So, yeah. And then on the defensive side of the ball, the Van Noy trade was a little... You know, when I first heard of, or the Van Noy cut...
Right.
Was
I was surprised.
It was surprising and then disappointing. I get it. You know, $15 million for six sacks is a lot, but you know, like you knew what you were getting when you signed him. Like that's exactly what he's always been. I liked the signing when they brought him in. You know, I thought he's the kind of guy they needed up there. I guess they really like what they have in Van Ginkle. That's the only thing I can think of because they are similar players and Van Ginkle had a nice season in spot duty. So maybe they're thinking they can get the same type of production out of him. I don't like that Van Noy went right back to New England. That was predictable, but.
You know what I don't like about New England? New England went out, spent all this money on those two tight ends. And after we signed Pitts, we're still going to have two better tight ends than they do.
Nice. All right. Well, why don't we, we'll talk about the draft when we come back. We'll take a quick break. So please stay tuned. And we're back. So we've kind of recapped, you know, all the major moves in free agency. We talked about, you know, some of the changes.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about the draft?
Not a lot of big ones.
The draft. You
know, we're thinner on the edge, as we kind of talked about right before the break. But this is not a very, you know, as we're going to talk about in the draft, this isn't a very it's not a, there's not a lot of edge rushers or elite edge rushers in this draft. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do address, you know, the edge, some depth guys on the edge. They did sign some other edge guys on the edge. I believe there was, I can't remember the guys' names that they've signed, but they did sign a couple outside linebackers. Nothing too splashy. So I wouldn't be surprised if the second first round pick is an edge rusher. There are a couple guys that could be there.
I think if one of those three guys is there, they would look long and hard at it. If it's Pay, Rashaw, and the first guy,
Phillips,
yeah.
So what about Parsons from Penn State? Is he's not an edge rusher, is he?
He's kind of Isaiah. What was the guy last year? The linebacker, the hybrid, like can be in anything, like just one of those just freak athletes.
Got it, Simmons.
Yeah, I think they would. I think Flores would love to have him, but I feel like he's won't be there at 18, and definitely isn't the pick. It's at six.
So yeah, I don't think he's definitely not going to be.
They would have stayed at 12 if they wanted.
I've seen some mocks where he is there at 18.
And if he is, that's, then I think if he is, it's him or those other three, I think will be, if, those three edge rushers, serious consideration. But let me, is it not time to float something crazy?
Well, let's talk about at least so last time we spoke, the Dolphins had the number 3, the number 18, the number 36, the number 50, and the number 81.
Right.
What they did, was a pretty big headline, right? They traded the 3 back to the 12 of the 49ers. The 49ers gave them 3 first-round picks, one of them being this year, one of them being next year, and one of them again being the year 2023, right? Right. 2 years ahead of us? Yeah. So then the Dolphins traded the
Didn't we also get a third?
What's that?
Didn't we also get a third?
I'm just talking about the first-round picks.
Oh, okay. Well, that's – but. Third round pick that's a nice pick.
Third round pick next year, I believe, not this year, next year.
I think so.
Yeah. So the Dolphins then traded 2 of those first round picks to move back to 6. So they moved from 12 to 6 with the Philadelphia Eagles. And now they're sitting at 6. 1, 2, 3 are going to be quarterbacks. I think everybody knows that. 4 is where it gets interesting. You have the Atlanta Falcons picking. If I'm the Falcons, I would look long and hard at drafting a replacement for Matt Ryan. New regime. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a fourth quarterback. What do you think? You think they're drafting Pitts there?
I'm not going to be surprised. I don't want them to.
Right. Of course.
At this point, I definitely think they're considering Pitts there. Ryan's good enough that you don't have to spend that first round pick,
that's the thing. If you draft Pitts now, and then you have Ryan, now you're probably not going to be anywhere close to the top of the draft again to get his replacement.
True, but I think it really depends on if the 49ers are dumb enough to draft Mac Jones because he fits their system, and let Justin
smoke.
Fields go. It has
smoke.
To be smoke, right? They're picking Fields, right?
It has to be. Can't see, like.
But here's the thing.
They got Jones at 12.
If Fields is at 4, I think the Falcons really have to consider that. If it's Mac Jones or Trey Lance, I don't know if they have to consider that, right? Over Pitts or even Chase.
Yeah.
So
and then the Bengals are at 5. So, I mean, very realistically, like, it could go Pitts, then Chase, and then the Dolphins are sitting there at 6 with their choice of Penei Sewell, who might be the best player in the draft overall.
If it does go that way, I would not be surprised if the Dolphins are listening for the phone calls at that point. They may trade back because now you're talking there's still there's only the 3 quarterbacks are gone in that scenario. So now you may want a Denver or somebody maybe wanting to leap up a little bit. So you don't move back too far. But I think if those 2 guys are gone, not they may take Sewell, don't get me wrong, but I could see them trading back and still maybe getting, seeing what they can get. If you can get that quarterback premium to move up to 6, I could see them sliding down. that's the only scenario I see them sliding down. If Chase and because then you could still might end up with Smith or Waddle. I mean, you know, and get more stuff. I mean, that's not terrible. Or even Slater. A lot of people have Slater just as high as Sewell for tackle. So
through the beginning of the draft process, like as soon as the order was locked and like I started doing my research, like the four guys, there were four guys that I wanted: Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, Penei Sewell, and Kyle Pitts.
Yes.
Those were the four. And we're guaranteed to get a shot at one of them.
Correct.
Like we'll get a shot at one of them. Devontae Smith was my one. Like he's still been my one, even though his measurables came out today and he's even smaller.
This is my new dream. And I've even heard like somebody else's podcast kind of floated this as like a crazy thing that could happen. But if Pitts gets to us, and if somehow Smith gets past the Eagles, or maybe even to the Eagles, and we trade up and end up with Smith and Pitts.
Oh, get both of them? Yeah, that would be amazing. Could you imagine? Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine. I'm like, my head would explode.
Yeah, that would be ideal, obviously. Like that, I would... If I was running the Dolphins, I would be trying to do everything I could to make that happen. And, you know, would have been easier if they would have held on to the third pick, because then they would have, you know, obviously they would have gotten Pitts, and then they could have packaged 18, you know, to move up to get.
Yeah, but that's part of the things where people are like, why are you doing this now? Nobody was talking about Pitts going at four when we traded that. Pitts was a no-brainer at six at that point. Now all of a sudden, trading it that early, now all of a sudden, if that's what you thought you were getting, you know, now you have a chance of missing out on it. But again,
I still think there's a real shot that he could be there. Like I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons took Chase, and then the Bengals took Sewell.
And the Falcons might even trade out of that if Fields is there and they don't take him. You know, they could trade out, or they're taking Fields. You know, or if that happens. But yeah, and on the other side of that, I was afraid at first of the Bengals taking him or Chase, but I was just looking like Burrow's, he got murdered. Like they have to take Sewell if he's there. They have playmakers. They have a couple of good receivers and you can add later. Like they need offensive line.
Chase makes sense to me because he was Burrow's guy. Reuniting them would be.
They're both good enough that they could play with anybody. I mean, it's not like they're terrible.
Of course, I'm just saying. I'm sure they would be excited to get Jamar Chase at five. From all things that I've read, and I mean, I watched a little bit of LSU football. You know, when Burrow was there, just because I wanted to. I was hoping the Dolphins were going to draft him. Chase looks. I mean, looks like in other years, other drafts, like, you know, you're talking about this is like the very clear, you know, number one, you know, pass catcher, like option in a draft. But, you know, he sits out a year, you know, Burrow's gone, you know, like all of those things. And now he's, you know, he very realistically could be there at six. I would be ecstatic if we got him at six.
I'd be ecstatic
if we got any of those four guys I named. Like there's not a lot of wiggle room between any of them.
Smith really like intrigues me because there's the size, which is just like we've never had a guy like this. And you know, the league changes, right? You can't really touch these guys anymore, but he's great at press coverage and against.
Well, Ginn was that size.
Well, but he's kind of sucked. Like we'd be very sad.
Ginn sucks, right? Yeah. That's the difference. Yeah, yeah. Part of like Smith
that's,
catches.
Okay,
it.
That's what I mean. I mean like elite guys at that size. Yeah. But the one thing we're missing is that separation, right? The guys who could just be open, they're just open. Not we've got guys who can get the ball when they're not open away from people. But this is a guy who's just always open. He knows how to do it, and his size. I don't know, maybe his size even helps because he's little that he can get away from guys. I don't know, but his hands are strong. He knows how to beat press. You know, he was up against top corners, guys that are going to, you know, be drafted as to hopefully be number one corners in the NFL, and he torched them. I mean,
he was my number one. He's my number one. Yeah. He's honestly like he's my by a slim margin over Pitts. So just and the only reason Pitts is not my number one is because
We have Gesicki.
Parker, Gesicki, and Williams that all are, you know, monsters that can run and out jump everybody and catch contested passes. Like, we already have three of those guys.
Right.
I would love to get Pitts. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, that is not a knock on Pitts. I'm just saying, like, we have a lot of that already. Smith is the one guy that seems to be the best fit. Chase would be great. Sewell would be great. I'd be happy with any of those. So then you go to 18, right? Like, let's say now you go, like, no trades happen, nothing, you know, like, we're just sitting there at 18. 18, you got, you know, there's going to be some offensive linemen available. There's going to be some, you know, edge rushers available. Najee Harris will be there, running back. Like, is that too high for you to take running back? It is for me.
So
I know,
too
I
high.
Feel like I, you're going to say no.
Not only is it too high for me, it's too high for Greer. And I know, look, he's great, and I want him in the backfield. I get it. I get the fans out there. I see all the mock drafts. I know everybody's saying, we need a running back. Get this guy. I don't see this front office the way they run. I do not see them using a first round pick on a running
back. And that leads to, so that means you're okay offensive lineman, you're okay edge rusher at 18. That's kind of what you're thinking.
Yeah, at that point, best player available. I mean, go for it.
Well, get what it. If the best player available is Najee Harris?
Well, If he is, fine. But, like, when you say best player, that's also, you have to consider replacement value. And if you can, and if the guy you're going to get is, you know, I won't be mad if they do it. I just don't think they're doing it.
I don't think they're going to do it either. And I wouldn't be mad at that same. I'm hoping they get him at 36.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hoping 36 is where they do the running back. I'm, you know, my ideal draft would be, you know, Smith or Pitts at six.
Unless it's Harris or how do you say his name? Etienne, the second best running back in the
Etienne.
So unless it's Harris or Etienne, I don't even see the third pick. You know, the set B.
Javonte Williams is supposed to be very, very good as well. He's the third running back in this.
I know, but I feel like I know he's in there in that thing, but I've also seen some where some have his teammate up ahead of him. I just think if those two guys are gone, I don't see them using that pick for running back. I'd see them going even, you know, deeper, because you can get guys deeper, especially if you have a good offensive line.
Yeah, and I think you know those picks 50 and 81, you know, maybe even 36 and 50, like that's where they get those. There should be some really good interior offensive linemen.
Right.
Which is, you know, if they don't draft Sewell, I still, even if they do draft Sewell, even if Sewell is the pick at six, I think they can still draft like a Dickerson or a Creed Humphrey, you know, at 36 or 50 to address the inside of the line as well. And then you're talking about, you know, potentially a very, very elite and strong offensive line in front of Tua.
I don't see them. Well, maybe. I don't see them doing too high picks. But again, if the draft falls out that way and they get guys and it's the highest value, sure. But I think we know Tua needs weapons and we know the offensive line needs help. But, you know, we've mentioned edge rusher and possibly this, but I still think they do still need a couple of blue chippers. I don't know about need, but a couple of blue chippers on that defense moves us into the scariest damn defense in the league. You know,
yeah. I mean, if they hit a home run on the edge, like if they get one of those guys that's just, you know, that complements Ogba, and then, you know, they're running those, you know, those amoeba fronts. Cause I do think McKinney's going to be a very solid addition to this defense.
Yeah.
You know, with the secondary, cause Coleman again was a sneaky signing. The secondary is very, very deep now.
But
you know,
again,
I would
do you
like
think
to
we
got draft safety, but there's not really like a, you know, a game changing playmaking safety in this draft, I don't think.
Right.
You know, so, but I think they're fine with the guys they have at safety, like the style that they play, you know.
Wow. You've never really been that nice to our safeties.
Well, I mean, it worked last year, right? Like we saw like the safeties, you know, it worked because they're not really safeties. They right. cover, right? You know, they like Rowe covers tight ends, you know, McCain slides into the slot sometimes like that, like, you know.
Yeah, we do a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of, yeah.
Yeah, McCain will play center field sometimes, but, you know, I think I would have liked, you know, for the Minkah Fitzpatrick thing to have worked out. You know,
what, really?
I know that's what you were baiting me into. but I thought they played.
I was more for you to bash McCain than to get you on your Minkah kick.
That's good. I'm happy with the secondary the way it is. I like the Coleman signing. I think, you know, I could see him them sneaking him back into like a free safety type of position as well. You know, it's a lot of depth, a lot of versatility back there. You know, I just love having, you know, X and Jones on the outside. Like if they can get a sustained pass rush, that'd be great. I just don't know if this is the draft to do it.
True, man. I'm glad we have Tua, but that Chase Young is such a monster. Just watching what he was doing for Washington last season was pretty crazy. But it seemed like this year we don't get one of those, right? How many years is there's a Chase Young, there's a Bosa, there's another Watt.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And we didn't get it. But you know, maybe next year's the year, because we'll have the ammunition, we'll have the firepower.
Now, what do you think? I don't know if it was Philly's choice or our choice, but what do you think about us keeping the Niners' first round pick and trading our own for next year? We're thinking we'll have a better record than the Niners, or I guess the Eagles were saying we will not. Because so next year, right, we have their pick and the Eagles have our pick. So we have to add the Niners to
our
pick,
and we kept the 49ers pick. I like it. They're betting on themselves.
Yeah.
Which seems good. I do think the 49ers, I mean, if
they're healthy, they're going to be good.
If they're healthy and they draft Justin, you know, if they're healthy and they have Fields and, you know, there's a lot of weapons on offense.
But even if they're healthy, Jimmy G would make, they're a playoff caliber team with Jimmy G if they're healthy.
Oh, 100%. You know, so like, yeah. If they're healthy. Yeah. Cause I mean, Jimmy's going to be the quarterback and this guy's whoever they draft is going to learn under him. But yeah, I mean, I feel like they can challenge the Bucs for the NFC for sure.
Yeah, they'll be there with the defense and the running game, and that, you know, then heard some people saying they traded up to number 3 to get Pitts to put him in with Kittle just so they could just tell the rest of the league F you.
I was thinking that as well. I wouldn't have been who knows? Maybe it is all a big smokescreen. So
I mean, that's, they paid the quarterback tax. I mean, you have to think it's for a quarterback.
Yeah. So does that mean, next year we have only one quarterback, right? One first round pick.
It, for now, it's weird, but look at all that depth. I mean, I could see, you know, maybe some players go for first round picks later. Maybe Parker gets turned into a number one. Maybe Fuller has a good season. He could turn into a third round pick if he signs somewhere else.
Or Xavier Howard.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything about him wanting the new deal. Have you read anything on that?
No, it hasn't come up. I wonder if it'll be closer to training camp.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
or maybe they talk to him. Like maybe they have a handshake agreement.
Yeah. You
know?
Oh, maybe.
There's definitely some moves coming. Like, you know, Hearns, Wilson, at least one of them is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some money there.
Even so, I can't see them. I mean, I'm a Wilson fan, but I can't see them paying him. That's a pretty big cap number, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's not that big, I don't think. But yeah, I mean, I think Hearns, I think the both of them combined is like $10 million. I think, right. Maybe less under that. But yeah, I mean, them opting out, which is totally fine, you know, I have no problem with them doing that. But I think that you know. Unfortunately, it's a business, and they, you know, these contracts aren't guaranteed, and they probably cost.
Have we re-signed Isaiah Ford yet?
No, I think he was able to get into free agency.
Oh, odd.
So what have you been? Have you been watching on the old television? You seen any good movies? Did you watch Kong versus Godzilla?
I did. It was. I'm very surprised at the people who were like, oh, that movie was dumb. Like, of course it was dumb. Yes. If you pay any attention to the people making words, it's dumb. But we want to see Big Monkey punch Big Lizard, and it was fine.
Yeah. For he did. He punched him right in his face.
They did. Punched each other. Although Skull Island was supposed to be,
I hadn't really seen any of the new
Skull Island is actually a good movie. That was Skull Island was
really
good.
So I watched all of them before I watched it, and then the first Godzilla was good as well. The second Godzilla was, you know, a lot like this movie. And then
I found it too unbelievable though, because Kong's like only 50 feet tall, and Godzilla is like 250 feet tall, and they were like the same size. How am I supposed to believe that?
Well,
I'm kidding.
They kind of address it. They said he was growing, like he outgrew his cage, right?
they made him bigger. I don't know. I didn't listen to the words.
I think they tried to address it. So that was good. Did you like WandaVision?
I did. I'm digging the Winter Soldier, although I'm not the Winter Soldier, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Falcon and Winter Soldier. Although, that's been really good.
The lady keeps going.
By how good that's been.
Like, why did the fake Captain America become so bad so fast? She's like, I don't get it.
I don't think he was that good to begin with. I think they established that. I liked it. I've really enjoyed that. WandaVision, I thought was, I thought they ended up playing it a little bit safe. Like I thought it just ended up being like it seemed like they were pushing the boundaries about doing all these like crazy things. And then it just ended up being it was good.
You wanted more with the crossover with the other universe or something. I thought that was actually a pretty cool use of that. The actor for the Pietro.
I didn't understand. Like, you could have chosen any actor to do that. Why? Is that just to mess with the fans?
Yeah, and then completely.
But why? Like, why is that fun? Why is that fun for them?
Why isn't it fun?
I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird. It just seemed like an odd choice.
I mean, maybe they couldn't get the guy that looks like the guy because it's the guy. And then if you can't get him, you might as well get the other guy. Now the guy who played him in the movie was probably like, what the hell? They didn't even call me.
I think they could still tie it in. Like, I think they could still tie it into him actually being the one from the X-Men universe, which, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
DC's going that route. Well, Michael Keaton. I liked going
the
to
Snyder
be,
Cut. Did you watch the Snyder Cut?
Like is a strong word. I liked it only because I had to watch the other cut. If you didn't watch the other one and that was the one that came out, you would not have liked it. I liked it. It was better than the other one.
We watched the other one together, remember?
No, really?
Yeah, we went to the theater to see it. See, that's how little you remember about it, right? That's how little I remembered it. Like, all I remembered was I didn't like it. Like, I don't remember anything about the story. I don't remember
I didn't think I went to see it.
Like,
the
boxes. Theater. I didn't even know those were things. Like, I was like, I'm like, what are these? I remembered nothing. Yeah. I just remembered that I didn't like it. And I remembered, but watching this.
No, this was better than that.
Yeah.
But it's only good because the other one was so bad. No, but I was talking about how they're going to do the Flashpoint movie and Michael Keaton is going to play Batman. Like, he's going to go to other, you know, multiverses. It's not called multiverses in Flash, but it's the same idea as Spider-Man's multiverse, like Flashpoint. They have the Flashverses or whatever they are. But Michael Keaton Batman is going to be brought into
that's
Tim
awesome.
Burton's
I mean,
universe is going to be brought in,
Spider-Man.
So that should be cool.
That's all that stuff's leaking out pretty clearly now that that's what's happening. So
funny. They're getting Toby and Garfunkel.
Yeah, they've been denying it for so long. But I like Alfred Molina was like, oh yeah, I'm in it, and like, oh yeah, I'm playing Doc Ock, and yeah, it's the Doc Ock from the Sam Raimi movies, like,
right. Now, are you watching Invincible?
No.
Yeah, you should. It's actually pretty good.
What is that on?
Amazon.
Okay.
It's animated, hour long, based on a book by the Robert Kirkman, the dude who did Walking Dead.
I'll check that out for sure.
Kind of R-rated. Oh, holy moly. The Harley Quinn show on the cartoon.
Oh no.
Have to watch it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay. It's Deadpool dirty. Like, it's raunchy, it's violent, it's R-rated.
And it's on HBO.
It's on HBO, and it's so good. It's so good.
Nice. I'll check that out. That'll be fun. I remember the old Spawn cartoons that they used to have on HBO. Remember those?
Yeah.
Those were good. Awesome, man. Well, I will check it out. All right. I feel like this draft is taking forever to get here, but we're having a draft party at the Miami Dolphins bar here in San Francisco. So.
And we will come back with our draft wrap-up.
If you can come, you know, out to SF.
No, you've dummy, been me and you, I'm not going to San Francisco. Those are where dummies live.
I got all kinds of room now. You can come stay in my guest bedroom.
Oh, fancy. I'm talking about we're going to do another podcast in a couple of weeks. We'll be back.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Oh, we'll definitely have to recap the draft.
That's
and talk
what I'm
about
talking
how very
about. To talk about how cool it is that we have that we get Pitts. And then Smith falls
and
to
Devontae
18.
Smith and Micah
and then,
Parsons. Yeah,
and
we
then
got all
Micah
of them.
Parsons in the second round. And then somehow we get Penei Sewell in the third round. Go, Gasman.
And Najee Harris. Yeah, yeah, and we still land Najee Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's the problem with drafts. It's kind of like when you were a little kid and like you had like $100 to spend, and you're like, you think of all the things you were going to spend, and then you're sad you only can get one of them because you're like, oh, I've already pictured the skateboard and the CD player and this and that. And like, oh, I can only get one? It's so sad. That's what's
important that they hit. It's important that they hit on at least one of them.
All of them.
Yeah. It's that first one is going to be key. I think that.
Yeah.
Those will be the keys. And then the rest can be depth guys because they did a pretty good job in the draft last year, I thought, in spite of all the terrible draft grades that they got.
draft grades are so stupid until 4 years later.
So awful. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Come back in a couple weeks after the draft. We'll see you then.
Let's go, Dolphins!